All right. Hi, folks. It's JT here from Sky Blue Radio. We are on the air with Fraser Cooper from World Flight. He's going to talk to us today about World Flight 2025, which is going to be incredibly awesome, like it is every year. Taking off this year from Sydney, as it is every year, and ending in Sydney, a week-long trip around the world, so to speak. Visiting different kind of airports and stuff like that. And if you've never participated in World Flight before, you definitely you definitely need to be involved in that. And you can check them out at worldflight.center. It's pretty cool. Fraser, thank you very much for being here with us today. We're thankful that you're able to get some time for us. How's everything going?
Yeah, no problem at all. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It's always great to get the word of World Flight out. So, really good. Thanks. Keeping well personally and pretty busy with the planning of World Flight as well coming up. So
that's good. And actually, that's a good point. Why don't you kind of tell us about World Flight? We know that those of us that have been around for a day or two are very familiar with World Flight. You guys have been around since 1999, I think we talked about, and it's a pretty long time, over, 25, 26 years, something like that, if I had enough fingers to count all that. So that's a long time. Can you kind of tell us about, where World Flight came from and all that kind of stuff?
Absolutely, yeah. No, so like you say, it's been around since 99, so it's a long-standing event in the year. It's the longest-running VATSIM event in history. In fact, it predates VATSIM to SATCO days. So
that's right.
It's been running for a pretty long time, and I'm sure many of your viewers probably don't even know what SATCO is. But
that's true. I remember SATCO very well.
It's a little while ago. So 99, as you say, it started. History of World Flight itself. Darren Knightsbridge was the first chap that started World Flight back in 99 in a 757 simulator in London. He did that, and to be honest, it actually started off not as a week-long event, but just as a weekend event, raising money for Children in Need, which is a charity based in the UK. And that was just flying out of Heathrow. So Sydney hadn't even been part of the equation at that point. It was purely out of London, and it was a weekend-long event raising money for Children in Need. So it started off pretty small. Did that for a couple of years, and then in 2001, World Flight Australia joined, which is the now known Qantas 25, which everyone knows, which is Matt Shield's 747 sim, and they were raising money for the Royal Flying Doctor Association or charity. That then became onto the VATSIM network, so it was those two as the main flag carriers and teams of World Flight. Right from the start, really, or at least from 2001, it became a multi-sim event. So there was now, from that one sim in the UK, a 757, they now had about eight simulators flying around even in 2001. And that was on the VATSIM network, as I say. Very different times, though, on the VATSIM network. You're probably lucky to get maybe one or two controllers around the world at that point. It was purely connecting to the network just so you can probably see the other aircraft flying along with you versus the actual air traffic experience that you would get like you would now anyway. So very different times indeed. Just after that, really, Darren stepped down from doing World Flight activities. The main leads of World Flight for quite a number of years were the World Flight Australian team. So Qantas 25, as I say, one of the original OGs. 2006, Gary, who some of your followers might know, SimFest UK, he now runs a 747 sim. But before his 747 sim, Gary in his garage made a 777. So 2006, Gary joined in a 777 simulator. He built that himself.
Wow. How cool is that?
How cool is that? I mean, how many kids, I mean, Gary was a kid at the time, how many kids would love to have a 777 sim in their
Yeah.
garage?
Yeah. Yeah. How cool is that? Wow.
He built it himself? He built it, and his dad was an engineer. In the industry as well. What a nice father and son project to have together,
Yeah, that's good father son time. I'll call my dad and tell him to come up and hey dad, let's do this. I'll do
Best a 350, dad, yeah.
Yeah, right. How cool is that?
Exactly. So yeah, it came from SimFest UK began With the 777 sim at Gary's. That then moved into a 737 sim that Ralph built, to his good friend of Gary's. And then Gary bought his first house and built a 747 sim. So quite a quick progression from a triple to a 737 to a 747. And that's the sim that we now fly for SimFest UK. So that's kind of where we've been in terms of the main leads and how we've got to where we are. So we are the main two, being Qantas 2.5 and Speedbird 4.7 Charlie, which is the SimFest UK team. It's developed to the to now 14 official teams taking part this year, raising money for so many different charities. So from that's where we've began to where we are now. And I'm sure if you, some of your followers and listeners have flown on World Flight in recent years,
yeah,
we've come quite a long way from starting, not even from 1999, but 2001, with just a handful of aircraft and no controllers, to, well, the in quotations, controlled chaos that it is now.
It is.
I say controlled chaos because there is an element of planning that goes into it, which I'll touch on in a bit later. But yeah, that's kind of the history of World Flight and sort of where we are now. The money that's raised, and obviously the whole point of World Flight is a charity event around the world. We're now Sydney to Sydney. We've got 45 sectors over a week, 14 sims, 26 years, over $1 million. It's become, I'm sure Darren, when he started it in 99, didn't quite have the vision of
I'm sure he didn't
ended up now. So yeah,
it's, yeah, that's incredible what it's been built. You know, that's just incredible. And absolutely, plus the 14 official teams that I'm sure you'll talk about, but not to mention the other 900 aircraft that come along, people just jumping on for a leg or two, that just for the experience. And you know, that's what I do. I take time off of work for this week to participate in it. So look for SBR1. Make sure you say hi.
Well, absolutely. And back then, when it first started, this event, there wasn't many that were flying along. It would have been the official teams and a handful of aircraft. You know, if you're talking about eight sims and some, you're talking maybe 15 aircraft. That's very different to where we are now. So, mm-hmm. For example, last year, we just on sector one, we had, I think it was over 200 departures out of Sydney.
I believe that.
So it's busy. It's one of VATSIM's busiest events. And that's why a cross the pond or cross the land level of planning has to go into World Flight. I mean, personally, I start planning World Flight in around June each year. And it's
that was a good question. That was going to be my next question.
First week of November. So around April time, we start getting some airport suggestions of where people would like us to visit. And around June, July, we'll start fleshing out the route and getting it out. And from there on, it's pretty consistent planning that takes. But yeah, it's crazy. All you can say about World Flight is it's just crazy. It's crazy fun. It's a community. There's hundreds of people that fly along, probably 1,000 or so over the week itself. And everything about it it should be fun. It's just, as I say, everyone getting together and raising shed loads of money for charity. What is there not to like? And flight simulation, you know, that's what everyone's passion is if you're on the network. So
yeah, and it's cool that, you know, you're in the UK and I'm in the United States, of course. And it's cool that when you get out with those flights and you hear some of those voices from that you've been listening to over the years, that, hey, I know that voice. Hey, I know that. I don't know that guy, but I know that guy.
Absolutely. You
know? And that makes it kind of fun too. I wanted to touch on your first couple legs, Sydney to Auckland and then Auckland to Christchurch. I think there was a new thing that came out last week or this week, was it about, getting a release from ATC or something like that in advance or something like that. Could you kind of touch on that a little bit?
Absolutely. So that's something that this year we've thought about it for years in terms of, are we outgrowing ourselves? Is World Flight becoming so popular that is it becoming unmanageable and unfair on local controllers to be able to actually manage that level of traffic? You know, maybe not Sydney, Heathrow, Atlanta, or you know, all these big airports around the world, they might have the infrastructure to manage said amount of aircraft, But when you're talking about some of the smaller places we go into, it is an unrealistic amount of aircraft. So we've always thought about the way of how we can manage that and how can we flow it? Do we create actual CTOTs? Do we actually slot aircraft over a large period of window? But then we're sort of going against that ethos of WorldFlight, of everybody's welcome. We don't really want to start controlling everybody to the absolute finite detail, because it kind of goes against what we want of it just being a fun experience for everybody. We don't want somebody sitting on the ground for 6 hours because they're waiting on their takeoff release and things like that. You know? So it's been a real juggle between trying to keep the ethos and the belief of what we believe in within WorldFlight versus what's actually practical in terms of the network. So this year we thought, well, is there some sort of middle ground, or is there something that we can sort of do to try and make it slightly more controllable? And our main focus really was for the first flight. Out of the whole week, Sector 1, departure out of Sydney, is where everybody wants to fly. They all connect at Sydney, and everybody wants to be part of WorldFlight. Absolutely fantastic. That's what we want. We want people to take part. We want the community, and that's what we want. What we wanted to try and do is, because this year Sydney can depart many aircraft. They've got multiple runways. Mm-hmm. They are extremely experienced in managing that level of traffic. Auckland, also extremely capable, but the infrastructure and facilities that they've got is much more limiting than what's available in Sydney. So what we didn't want is for it to be everybody get airborne and it be carnage or uncontrollable for the Kiwi controllers down in New Zealand. So we thought, okay, well, let's say we have 200 people wanted to fly. Let's limit it to 150, which is what we've done this year. We've said 150 aircraft can depart within this 3-hour window. That's 50 aircraft an hour. That's still really good going.
It's still a lot, yeah.
It is still a lot of aircraft. But let's say 150 over 3 hours. Anybody else, and if you'd like to be one of those 150, let's say you just need to register that you want to depart in advance. You're not getting a slot. You're not getting a takeoff restriction. You're not. It is a booking, but you're more just registering that you want to be one of that 150. That means that we know exact numbers. We can tell the Auckland controllers, hey guys, you're going to get exactly this number of aircraft over this period of time, and we can give them a bit more of a heads up of what to expect.
That's whereas a good idea.
If it's 200 plus, it's so hard to actually manage that from a controlling point of view.
That's exactly so.
We just wanted to try and make it slightly more controllable, even just statistically, for them to know what's going to come. So what we're not saying is if you don't get a slot, you can't participate. That is absolutely not what we want. We want everybody to take part. What we are saying is that you have to be an event registered booked aircraft to depart within the 3 hours that we've said, which is from 20:30 Zulu to 23:30 Zulu on the 1st of November. If you're not an event aircraft, then exactly. And there are slots available still. So I think there's 29 slots out of 150 remaining. So there's not many left, but there are some left.
I know. Soon as I got my email about getting the release, I was like, boy, I better get in there. So I definitely got in there quick.
Yeah, and a lot of people did. If you're not registered and you want to fly, you can either go before 2030Z or after 2330Z. And there's no restriction. Absolutely. Take off at 2029 and there's no restriction. Alternatively, if you'd like to depart in the main kaggle or of WorldFlight, then you can do so also. And we've set up an alternative route to go from Sydney to Ohakia, which is on the southern tip near Wellington, on the North Island in New Zealand still. That's going to be fully staffed, full air traffic control there as well. So we have not just thought, gone, that's it, you've got to be part of it or suck it. We have actually given an alternative plan here. So we are really trying to accommodate everybody still.
That's good.
And then if you want to depart out of Auckland, you can then load up Auckland. If you want to depart out of Ohakia, there's no limitation from Sector 2 onwards. So it's only for the first flight that we are introducing that sort of limit, just to try and cap it ever so slightly and make it more manageable.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It doesn't make any fun for anybody. You know, like you said before, you're waiting 6 hours to get a release. So I think that's a good call. I noticed also too that I think
it was a trial. Sorry. It's a trial as well. So it might not work. It might work. It's one of those things we have to try just to see how it goes. And it might be something that we then introduce for further legs in years to go, or we go, do you know what? That didn't work. So feedback is what we want as well. And I'm very receptive to people telling us what's worked and what hasn't worked throughout the event, after the event, or ideas before the event. It's a very open book in terms of we want to get this right.
But we need you to tell us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's cool. No, that's okay. That's cool that you want that kind of feedback for people, because there are events out there where, you know, they've set up and say, hey, we're going to put our controllers. This is the time you need to be here, and that's it. And so you guys should be really committed for doing that. I noticed that when we go to Antarctica, I think it is it Phoenix Airfield?
Yep, Phoenix Field, and then to Union Glacier. Yeah,
and then that changed this year. Originally, we weren't going there, right?
No, we were going to McMurdo, which is NZW. They're right next to each other, maybe a couple of miles away from one another. But one of them, the scenery was actually like half a mile misaligned on Microsoft Flight Sim versus X-Plane. It was half a mile north. There was some there was some alignment issues on scenery to scenery. So we thought that would just cause, and it wasn't even like, oh, it was out by 100 feet. It was out by 1,000 feet. So, which I completely understand as somebody that's tried to make scenery down in Antarctica before. The data is quite limited to what's available. So I can see why these developers don't always get it exactly the same, you know. So we chose Phoenix Field because it's included in the Microsoft Flight Sim freeware Antarctica pack, which includes all of the airports. So it's just one easy download for everybody.
Good tip. I didn't know that.
So it's just an easy way of keeping it simple.
Cool. Tell us about what it's like being on an affiliate team. So how does it work for SimFlight UK? Speaking of SimFlight UK or SimFest UK, one of the most popular live streams that anybody's seen at World Flight, everybody's watching you guys, it seems. And how does that work? I mean, how do you guys work out shifts and lines and all that kind of stuff? Taking a shower, or how do you eat? You know, you have to do all that kind of stuff, right?
It's like a military training camp. It's very it's really well, and it's a well-oiled machine, to be honest. I mean, SimFest UK has been, as we said, since 2006 is when Gary started SimFest UK, so it's been running a long time. So over the years, we know how it works and how to make it work. So we roster it, we look at the schedule. Benny Michael Benson, one of our team members, is very good. He makes the roster every year, tries to make it fair that everybody gets a captain sector, everybody gets a first officer sector, or an equal share, sorry, of captain sectors, first officer sectors. And we also roster on every flight what we call a social secretary, which is the third guy on the jump seat. So he's the one that interacts with all the stream. He's the one that keeps it, hopefully, engaging and entertaining. While the other guys,
that's for sure.
Well, exactly. Hopefully, that's the whole point, is entertainment and raising money for charity through Flight Sim. You know, that's it's got to be engaging and it's got to be entertaining. Otherwise, however good of a course you've got, people won't be stick around. You know, so that's just the, and that's also why we try and keep these. When I plan World Flight itself, I try and keep the legs relatively short, because nobody wants to tune in for a 9-hour leg, you know, from Sydney to Dubai or whatever. So we try and keep it short. So we always try and plan an equal number of captains, first officer and social secretary legs. A lot of people, Gary's got a wonderful house that a lot of people are fortunate they can stay there during the week, and there's plenty of space for people to stay. I actually live not too far from Gary as well. I've had people stay at my house. We're all really close, good friends, actually. It's a real good friendship circle we've got. So it just works well. And I you can't really be in a box for a week with someone that you don't get on with. So it works really well. And we always try and, like I say, keep it lighthearted, keep it entertaining, and keep it engaging foremost, because at the end of the day, it's our audience that are the ones that donate the money. And we need to keep them entertained. And hopefully we do quite a good job of that, I like to think. So we're going to keep it.
I think you do. I definitely think you do. Who pays for the pizza? I mean, you guys obviously need to eat, right?
Absolutely.
Who coughs up the money?
We also roster catering duties as well. It's that down to a T that we will say that it's Fraser and Gary's evening to do dinner. And it's, you know, or one of the nights, it'll be a couple of the team members' responsibility to do. They won't have any flying duties that day. They will be on catering duties. They will sort breakfast. They will sort lunch. Nice. They will sort dinner. And just and we keep it fair. And we go, you know, if you want to order everybody a takeout, it's probably going to cost you more money than if you wanted to order everyone food or make everyone food for dinner. So it's up to that pair on the day on how they're going to cater the day, really. So it actually works really well. And you know, and even things like, you know, you're catering for the day, but you're also emptying the bins, you're tidying, and it's got to be like that, because you know, when you've got like 20 guys staying in the house for a week, you've got to got to have some manner of order.
You're exactly right. One more question. I know that there's a couple other things that we wanted to talk about. Is, can you tell us a little bit about the SimFest UK simulator and anything else about any of the other simulators that are on the team? And then maybe we can jump into the affiliate portion.
Yeah. So absolutely. So as you say, the official teams, there's 14 of them. All of the details on all of the teams are on the website, worldflight.center. And then we've got a section there of official teams. We've got 747s, we've got 737s, we've got some Max 737 Maxes, we've got some 320s, we've got some 747 200 Classic this year, 200 or 300, but 74 Classic this year. It's a huge variety of teams, and not only just variety of aircraft, but variety of people taking part, and variety of locations as well. Obviously, we've got a couple of teams or a few teams now in the UK. We've got one. SimFest UK. We've also got Velocity UK. We've got Ascend Aviation, which are up in Scotland. Ness Aviation are in Aberdeen. Sorry, Inverness, I believe. So we've got teams all over the world. We've got Australia, of course. Plenty of teams from America. We've got a new team from Amsterdam this year. Germany. Wow. It's all over, and that's what's great about it as well. This community has introduced me to so many great people that I wouldn't have met otherwise. So it's great for that. And I think that sort of epitomizes what World Flight probably is about. Not only just raising money for charity, but also that central community within VATSIM that everybody sort of feels pretty welcome. And I'm sure you'll touch on that affiliate point of view as well that we've introduced last year, just to try to enhance that sort of community feel, really.
I think it's awesome. Yeah, I think, and I was looking at the list a couple of days ago, and you got some new folks that are on there, like Bravo 737's new, 8 Papa John's new, Vader 1 has been flying for a while, but and then I'm not sure about the United 8317. He's, can't remember if he was here last year, I think, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, so official teams we've got joining this year are Rhino 7 Mike Alpha. they're Ascent Aviation and KLM 2064 from the Amsterdam 73 Club. Okay. We've also got, they are actually not a new team, but a branch of a team. We've got NWA 179, which NWA I think is Northwest 179. Mm-hmm. They're Jurassic Jets. They're 747-300. And the other teams are teams that have taken part over the years. Then you're quite right. We've got some affiliates as well. And I've actually got, since doing the announcement about the booking system out of Sydney with the link on how to become an affiliate, I've actually got 7 or 8 new applications I need to go through as well for new people joining the year.
I'm waiting for Sky Blue Radio to be put on there, but
I think you'll find it probably won't be too long before you make a sudden sneaky appearance, I'm sure. Cool. Do you mind if I touch on that affiliate on the world?
No, absolutely, go for it.
So, as I say, we've always had the official teams of World Flight, and the official teams have always been real simulators around the world, full size real sims, basically. What we wanted to do is, we've had a lot of guys over the years that have flown for years at home, the same names, the same call signs, that are part of the World Flight community, but have never had that recognition of being officially part of us and our teams. So I thought, well, what? Let's try and create a way of, one, recognizing the ones that deserve the recognition that have been a big part of WorldFlight from the start, that haven't got a sim, but yeah, do fly with us from home. But then at the same time, can we also create a community or where people can see their name on the website, see and say, hey guys, I'm a WorldFlight affiliate. You know, I think a lot of people have gone for that. And that's why we introduced the WorldFlight affiliates. So absolutely, that is anybody, anyone, any team, if you want to take part, you've got a few guys at home that go, hey guys, let's, between six, seven of us, let's split the legs, you know, and we'll roster it between ourselves, but we'll all fly from our own flight sims at home, but we'll connect as a single call sign and take it in turns using that call sign. We will add you as an affiliate. You just need to create an application from the website. That sends me an email and I'll go through it and I'll add you. I've not turned down anybody as an affiliate. I want as many people part of this community as we can. And however great it is to have 200 plus people depart out of Sydney, what's even better for me is to have 20 or 30 core regulars and, you know, people that we see sector in, sector out. So if that's something that interests you, then yeah, please send us an email.
Yeah. You know, I was just listening to you talk about that affiliate thing and you can kind of hear the passion in your voice and how important that is to you. And that's really commendable. So that's cool. I'm really, really happy to hear that.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Go on.
No, I was just going to ask about WorldFlight ATC. How does that work?
So WorldFlight ATC. So it's what we do is, in terms of, if I start from the beginning of the planning process, in terms of the coordination that has to take place to get to where we are now, and actually it's still ongoing now, actually, but up until the event begins. So around, as I say, April time, we will put the announcement out to say, hey guys, thanks for last year. Any recommendations on places, airports you'd like us to visit for next year's event? And we got, I think we got something like 350 airport suggestions. A crazy amount of suggestions, where I had to create a fancy spreadsheet which basically collates the data to say the top 30, you know, airports that people had suggested and stuff. So yeah, it's a lot. I go through all of that, and one thing that we ask people to put in the comments is a reason why they're suggesting it. And it might be, oh, it's my home airport, I'd love for WorldFlight to visit, or I think this is a really cool approach, I'd love for you to guys do it, or you haven't flown to VATSIM Austria in a couple of years, you know, would you guys, you know, come and visit Vienna? Or these are all the things that we sift through every single one and basically create a long list. From there, we draft a route. Bearing in mind, we've got to try and put all these airports together somehow to try and make a route from Sydney to Sydney.
Right. Yeah.
We will create just some draft routes, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 draft routes. From there, we will then flesh it out a little bit more in terms of the timings to go, well, are those 7 or 8 draft routes actually viable? Do they add up to a week? They might be. We've done it and they've taken 10 days. And we go, well, that's not going to work. Or it takes 5 days and it's too short. So we come up with a few. We end up with a good 3 or 4 solid draft routes. We can't then do anything really from there on until we speak to VATSIM and go, right, this is what we're thinking. I will then reach out to these divisions and VACCs within VATSIM and go,
yeah,
right, this is what we're thinking. Would you guys support us going into your division, or would you like us to come? And a lot of people say, yeah. Some places say no. And we go, okay, that's fine. Then we'll look at alternatives. And we always have alternatives. We always have alternatives. There are certain parts of the world you have to fly through to get to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might come up with a fantastic route, but to go from A to B, you have to fly through that bit in the middle. If they say, we just don't want WorldFlight this year, or can we take a break this year? We've had some fantastic divisions that we've flown through for years, and they've said, we absolutely love WorldFlight, but do you mind if we just take a year off this year? Go, absolutely, that's fine. So that coordination needs to take place before we get serious in terms of actually finalizing a route. So it's a hell of a lot of coordination. This year, I've used the resources and people available from vatsim.net marketing and events team, whereas previously I had a long list of basically every staff member in the whole of VATSIM and who looked after what division and tried to reach out to them individually. This year we're using vatsim.net, and I must say it's made communication with the whole world of VATSIM so much easier.
That's good.
It's been really, really good actually. So we've got a single Discord with every event manager in the whole of VATSIM for every division and every VACC. And I can contact any of them with any queries. They've got any questions, they can come to me. And actually, I'd say it's probably, in terms of, I don't want to jinx it, but touch wood, it's one of the smoothest in terms of getting to this point that it has been since I took over or started doing this. So
good.
It's really good. Excuse me. And now we've just finalized all the ATC routes. So I'll go to all the divisions. Hey guys, we're going to be coming to Glasgow on the 3rd of November, for example. We're going to be going from Glasgow to Paris. I'll get the Parisians in the group chat, and I'll get the UK division guys in a group chat. These are the times that we're going to be there. Can you guys agree on a route between the two airports? They'll agree on a route. I'll go, right, everybody happy with that from an ATC route point perspective? I will then create the list of all of the routes. So we've now got on the website a tab that says ATC routes. And if you
click saw that,
then it will have all the routes. And we've also integrated it with SimBrief. So you can plan it with SimBrief. But also, if you don't go through our website, if you just say, I'd like to fly from New Zealand to Phoenix Field, and you're taking part during the World Flight Week, it will recommend you the World Flight route. So we've integrated with SimBrief and Navigraph to all of our routes. Everyone will be suggested throughout the week. It just keeps it a nice streamlined process for everybody to be flying on the same ATC route.
That's awesome.
And in terms of staffing, I try not to get too involved with, you know, the staffing of these positions. You know, if I say we're going to be there during these times, they will go, great. And I expect them to staff it. And I'll say, if you've got any issues, it might be that, and this is the big, you know, bugbear of World Flight, it might be that, unfortunately, we've tried everything, but we will be arriving in, you know, let's just say Cancun at 4 o'clock in the morning, your local time. And I'm really sorry about that, but to make the rest of it work, that's just
how coming.
It's just going to have to be like that. And it's so, so difficult. And the biggest sort of feedback, or the biggest sort of complaint in quotations that we get every year, is that, why are you coming to my airport at 2 o'clock in the morning? We'll say, this is the way the world turns. We are flying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
We have to be, you know, flying constantly, and it's just going to have to be that we go there at a silly time. And I'm sorry. And what we tried to do year by year is make it that we visit the following year at a good time. And we do try and really, really make that happen. And I know people don't believe me, but I really don't want to be visiting your airport at 3 o'clock in the morning. I want to be arriving at the peak time where all your controllers can be aligned and everybody can enjoy themselves. That's what we want.
Yeah. There's a big picture to the whole thing. And sometimes people forget that.
It's really difficult. If somebody said to you, here is a 747, a real 747, you have 7 days to fly around the world, and you have to do 45 legs, and you've got to try and arrive at a good time for everybody to enjoy it.
Good luck.
And here you go. It is a huge logistical challenge. And I know it's only Flight Simulator, but everything that we do is the planning perspective of what a real world planner would be doing. It's planning the route, checking that, first of all, the place we're going to will accept us. You know, this is real life issues that people would face when planning with a real aircraft. So the complexities are not quite as many, but it is a lot to think about. So I obviously enjoy it. Like you said, you know, hopefully I give off the passion that I've got for World Flight. And
oh, you do. Yeah.
in terms of getting it right for everybody is what I want. It's just not always possible. So, you know, that's kind of what I want to get across.
The other thing too is the note that we haven't talked about yet is that you're a volunteer, right?
Yeah, I am a volunteer.
Which is really cool.
I certainly don't get paid for it. If I was paid per the hour, I would probably be hopefully on a hell of a lot of money. I'm not. I'm fortunate in the role or job that I have. I am in the industry. I do fly, and I spend a considerable amount of time in hotel places around the world where I do have access to a laptop every now and then. I can spend an hour planning a sector and then go back to what I'm doing and then come back the next day and plan another sector. So I do make time, and I try not to, and that's why it starts from July or April and ends up in November. You know, it takes that long because I'm not a full-time employee. I do have a job, and it isn't just me. There are other people on the team as well, I should say.
Right. But my point is not just you volunteer, everybody's a volunteer. Yeah. For this, but the amount of time and work that goes into it, it's amazing. You all should be commended for that, because not everybody would or could do that. So that's really cool.
Yeah, people take, you know, we take a week off for the year. People are not paid for that. People are taking that week off work. It's we don't just happen to have that off, and people are not getting paid, but they're doing it because it's such a great cause, and people are passionate about World Flight and the event. So yeah, we're very fortunate. We've got some very, very dedicated people to this, to the cause. And like you say, we are one team. There are 13 other teams, but there are people like yourself. You said you're taking the time off. Plenty of other people as well who take off the whole week because that is their big event of the year. So I commend them as well and their dedication to the cause. So.
Good. What would you tell somebody that's never done this before, like the first time pilot? Don't hop on and say radio check November 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right?
Yeah.
What are some tips for the newbie?
I think certainly now compared to when you and I probably began flying on the network is that there are fantastic resources available there from a VATSIM point of view. That is probably a good way to get started before you. World Flight is an event that takes part on VATSIM. If you're not a regular VATSIM pilot, that doesn't mean you can't take part, but I would use the resources that are available from VATSIM.net perspective to get yourself comfortable, because it is quite intimidating when there are 150, 200 other people all trying to call up for clearance. So my advice to you, if you are a new pilot that wants to take part in World Flight, is use the resources available via VATSIM.net/PRC, which is the Pilot Resource Center, to get yourself actually started. There are some fantastic YouTube tutorials from very competent pilots and controllers and YouTubers that are on the VATSIM network. World Flight itself, is a very busy event. Doesn't say you have to be an experienced person to take part, but there is also an element of being practical. There might be the occasional scenario during World Flight, you'll be told just to get off that runway as soon as you can. And if it means you might have to put that left tire That's in the true. Grass or the snow, then we would kindly ask you to be quite practical about it, because there's a lot going on and we just want to keep that wheel turning for everybody. So if you're going to take part, then we would love you to. Just be prepared to maybe be slightly practical and just engage yourself in the World Flight spirit of things. And that might be that you have to be a bit. I'm very much, and I was explaining this actually to some controllers that I was having a chat to the other day with, that the opinion of World Flight is all procedures go up in the air. That's not true. I agree that is not where we want to go, because as somebody quite rightly pointed out, and I'd agree, then you might as well fly the Microsoft Flight Simulator multiplayer server if that's what you want. If you want to fly on VATSIM, you are expected to be controlled by a controller who will be following procedures. They might relax some of those procedures, but I don't want us to end up in a situation where you go, you cleared the lands, number 100, and he'll probably be off the runway or, you know, yeah, just every airport we go to, taxi through the sea and park where you want. That's not what I want at all. We are limited to airports around the world that can't support 100 plus aircraft. That's where we have to be practical.
So, I was looking at some screenshots I took from last year, and it's just amazing. I should have put them on this computer so I could have shown them to you. But it's crazy, but it's pretty cool. Like we've said, you know, a couple of hundred times, that it's amazing how everybody kind of comes together like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the feedback we get from the controllers every time is that was great fun. And what we also love is we love flying to places around the world on VATS and don't get this level of traffic. You know, there are some Antarctica. When do you ever see 100 aircraft flying down in Antarctica? How many times in South America? It is busy on VATS, but not that many people would fly, you know, like a city pair from Union Glacier to Chile, you know. So we love bringing the world flight busyness to places that deserve the attention but don't get the traffic levels on VATSIM, I would say.
Yeah, I think last year didn't go to Antarctica at all, because last year was westbound, I think.
Yeah.
And we went across the Pacific. It was from Las Vegas.
Yeah, and we did Vegas, Honolulu, and then we did
Wake Island.
Wake Island, and then onwards to, is it Japan or somewhere?
Yeah, Tokyo. Yeah,
yeah. That's cool. It's eastbound's better. I'll say that, because we'll also find that we fly in daylight more going eastbound.
Mm-hmm.
Westbound, we always find that we're flying at night, so eastbound, I think we'll enjoy. And we, as you say, we didn't do Antarctica last year. We did it in 23.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it this year. What I will say for Antarctica, just as a get it out there, is that we have on our website a Antarctica brief for both of the airports that we're flying to. The NZFX one for Phoenix Field is complete. I haven't yet finished or uploaded the Union Glacier one, but hopefully by the time your listeners listen to this, it will be complete. Because if you haven't flown in Antarctica, there are some additional complexities flying that far south that you, if you haven't done it before, that you would probably need to consider.
Yeah.
Mainly the fact that magnetic variation is 40 degrees there. So if we said fly heading 170, that isn't heading 170. If you're in magnetic, it should be 210 true. So the way that you will be told, or instructions that you will be given, will be slightly different. So I highly recommend to any of your listeners that if they plan on flying into Antarctica, to try and find or read, please, the resources that we provide. It will be on our website. It will be on VATSIM-NZ's website, and it will also be linked in the controller ATIS and on the actual ATIS itself. We will try and put as much textual information in the actual airport ATIS as well, so to try and make it as simple as possible. But at the end of the day, you'll probably fly from one waypoint to another waypoint to fly a visual approach onto a runway that looks a lot like snow.
Yeah, right.
So it's great fun. It really is.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. What else would you want to share with people that are involved or want to be involved or are thinking about getting involved? Or,
well, or I would say that we want everybody to be involved. We want the new flight simmers, the experienced flight simmers. We want the people that are thinking about starting up a team of flight simmers. We want people that want to start a team with an actual simulator. We want people from all levels of experience. We want people from all backgrounds. We want people from all over the world to join the World Flight community, because it is a community and it is a worldwide community, and that's what we want to expand. If you are a regular within World Flight, or you're not a regular, if you'd like to be a recognized member of our team, then you can become a World Flight affiliate. The link is on our website, worldflight.center, and you'll find the link there for World Flight affiliates and how to get involved. There are plenty of information on our website on how to get involved in terms of the scenery available to download. We've got a link mm-hmm. for MSFS explained scenery as well for every airport we're going to. And I tried to link Freeware and Payware Airport for all of them to give people options. We've got the ATC routes that you need to file on VATSIM. We've hopefully got all the information that you need to take part. And if you aren't familiar with VATSIM or how to take part on the VATSIM network, then visit VATSIM.net. And there's a good link there, getting started, as well as the Pilot Resource Center in terms of getting yourself up to speed to feel comfortable to take part in the event as well.
Yeah. Well, I certainly appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to talk with us. And I know that the folks out there in Flight Sim World definitely appreciate you taking the time. And so remind us the dates that this is going on, November.
Yep. So November the 1st this year, Saturday the 1st of November, and it will be starting in Sydney at officially 2100 Zulu.
Okay. So let me bring my fingers out to count that. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it will be ending on the 8th, Saturday the 8th of November. Saturday the 8th.
Nice.
And that'll be finishing.
Nice.
0900 said. I can't remember the exact time. But
okay.
If you haven't taken part in World Flight, the first sector is always exciting. And the last sector is also very exciting.
That's true.
Because if you haven't seen it before, all of us teams and the affiliates will be flying under the Sydney Harbour Bridge to making visual approaches into Sydney. And it is something that is
spectacular. That sounds fun.
Yep. And we've got, if you're an affiliate or you're a World Flight official team member, we will have and have already a complete set of procedures on how to conduct our historic World Flight ending, which is the under the Sydney Harbour Bridge, past the Sydney Opera House for a visual approach into Sydney to finish World Flight. And we will park in a line next to each other and we go from there. So there's a lot of excitement. Cool. There's a lot of charities that would love your support around VATSIM. There's a link on our website to all of the charities, their streams, their charities and their websites as well to get involved. And as I say, we'd love to have you. So if any of your listeners are hopefully interested, then we'd love to welcome them.
What's the link to your website? Where can they go to get all this information?
Worldflight.center, and that is the American way of spelling center, c-e-n-t-e-r, the correct way. Worldflight.center. You can also Google World Flight and all of the information will be there as well.
Yeah, that's true. Just amazing. I'm really excited about it, and thank you again for being with us, and we'll see you here in I think it's a couple weeks away or a week away or something like that. No, 2 weeks away, I think, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I'll add at the end of this as well is that you'll see the link on our website, but we've got a community Discord server and we'd love people to join that as well. And if you need to reach out to me, you've got any questions, you also want to take part or have a further role within the planning element of World Flight and want to help, then you can reach out to me as well via our Discord. So I'm always always happy to receive any private messages, DMs, et cetera, and emails. So please get involved.
Cool. Thank you, Fraser. And we'll see you in the air.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. Cheers, guys. See you later.